I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications to help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Freddie!
Hey, Freddie D here. In this episode, we're joined by Blair Brian Nichols, owner of BBN Creative Management for Diversity and Mission-Driven Talent. Blair is a seasoned expert in building strategic speaking platforms for speakers, authors, and business leaders with a rich background representing top talent and managing high-impact projects across industries. With an MBA from UCLA Anderson and the experience ranging from literally representation to celebrity strategy, Blair brings a unique lens to the speaking world, emphasizing diversity, purpose, and the power of a well-rounded platform. Get ready for a thoughtful conversation about what it takes to stand out and succeed in the ever-evolving speaking industry. Welcome, Blair, to the Business Superfans Podcast. Blair is with BBN Creative Management.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So, Blair, tell us a little bit about the backstory of how BBN Creative Management come about.
Sure. So yeah, it is my company. I started my career in the publishing speaking world in New York at HarperCollins. They were the first publishing house to have an in-house speakers bureau. They wanted to provide this service for their authors and also extend the life of the books and sell more copies through speaking engagements. It was an industry that was already around, but it was the first time publishing house was doing it that way. So I started off in kind of this hybrid model. From there, I went on to run the Hachette and Simon & Schuster speakers bureaus, and I had so many clients from these two major publishing houses because there's new books every quarter, there's constantly new authors and more people that they want to promote, and then people that have interest in the bureau, etc. Often not the biggest names or the best people that I would potentially want to work with. So it became a big drain on me, and I started to kind of get the idea that I really liked the idea of management. Working with less people, but doing more for them, having a broader scope in their careers, business, and not having so many clients that I'm attached to and feeling like I'm not performing well for the vast majority of them. So that was the early seed that planted a longer journey. I got recruited for a job in LA, started business school while working there, finished that, worked at another agency, had a couple more jobs about 5 years ago. I started getting my LLC and the last few years, my business up and running, working with speakers of all different types, a lot of which are entrepreneurs, business owners, and authors, et cetera, and helping them grow their speaking business, but also figuring how they can optimize it. What is the right product, services? Well, how does it fit in with their other goals and objectives? So that's the short and sweet version of where we are today.
What are the biggest challenges that speakers run themselves into?
I think oftentimes speakers don't have as good of an objective eye on what the market may want and what they're trying to offer and how they position it. They may want to be clever and unique in what they say or how they phrase it, but they really have to speak to the customer. They really have to be a lot more plain and upfront. I think sometimes people get lost in trying to be too clever or stand out, muddies their message, you know? So there's a lot of different things that can trip people up, but I think just starting with defining really what is your best topic, not just what do I want to talk about or what is this clever thing that I created, but what are the problems that I'm going to solve and who am I solving them for? So it's kind of like triangulating around who their ideal client is, who their ideal audience is. What is the bigger purpose for speaking? What is the bigger goal? And then engineering those topics more to that. Whereas I think a lot of times people just rush out these topics or list like 12 basic business things. People don't want you to talk about 12 different things. They're the one person that's the expert on this one thing. So you really have to narrow in on your niche, both audience and your expertise, and make it super obvious to who you're trying to attract, what you speak about, and what the ROI is going to be for them.
Yeah, it reminds me of one of my first engagements that I got paid for speaking. It wasn't a large amount of money, but it was some money, and I got a free dinner out of it. It was to a bunch of movers. My topic was on customer engagement and the impression that you were creating. Even though these guys were the packers and the movers, their whole dynamics of going into that house and setting proper expectations, making sure the customer understood what was going on, turned those customers into what I call super fans of the way the moving company engaged with them and handled the process. It was fun. It was short, but it got the message across because I was targeting a specific topic for a specific need.
Totally. Frontline workers are often neglected when it comes to these sort of trainings or workshops or keynotes in the grand scheme of things. It is so important that everyone has this understanding. The companies that do customer service and customer engagement really well are taking care of everyone in their company and spreading this knowledge. They are helping them understand how they make such an impact on their customers, even though they feel like the low man on the totem pole.
That's the key word there. That's the front line. It's the image of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So really, management should stop and think about that, that at the end of the day, that's the front line. That's representing the company. If they don't feel appreciated, they're not taken care of, they're not up to speed, that whole energy is going to come across to whoever they're dealing with. And that's going to be the impression of the company.
Definitely.
So how does a business owner leverage speaking to not only elevate themselves and their brand?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of different opportunities for business leaders. If you're working within a company, even doing internal workshops and sessions or presentations for bigger sales events, conferences, or all hands meeting, volunteering to do things like this, you know, can attract positive attention, get you some practice stretching this skill and seeing if it's something you really like, if it's that stage of where you're at. You can also go outside of your company. So a lot of times I think companies, business owners think about conferences, being a vendor, being an exhibitor, having a booth, just participating in the trade show element of these bigger conferences. If this is a conference that's supposed to be full of your ideal clients, customers, et cetera, then what bigger impression could you make than being one of the experts that's actually on stage? So I'd say putting your energy into a speaking strategy that allows you to get in front of your ideal clients and be the representative of your brand in that way is what really helps move the needle a lot faster and a lot more effectively and efficiently than trying to shake as many hands as possible by just trying to have your booth and see how many people will come by or come to your event or all the other strategies that you're using to collect leads. You're just getting leads.
Right.
In this way, you're not just getting leads. You've also had an opportunity with someone's undivided attention, which is pretty rare, to now tell your story, not just talk about your product and give a pitch or give the specs and the dimensions. You're there to really give some value, to share some knowledge that might be adjacent to what you do as a firm or what your software does, but you can actually connect with this audience by being vulnerable, by being funny, by, you know, it's in that storytelling and how you open and close. You could already create super fans from that talk alone without even clients or customers yet, but they're going to know and like you a lot more from hearing you and interacting with you in that physical space than from a digital ad or having someone just, you know, grab their email contact from something at a conference. So I think it's something everyone needs to consider as a valuable business development, marketing, recruiting tool. There's a lot of different ways that you as the leader, especially as we're talking about creating fans, you want to commit. You can't talk to every single employee when it gets to a certain point. Depending on how big your organization is, those opportunities to get up in front of your workforce and share stories can make a huge difference in how people feel. I had a boss talk about a big meeting at GM, and the breakthrough thing, the president being more vulnerable. They talked about how opening the kimono, ability to connect, then that's what turns your workforce into raving fans and being the people that are out there evangelizing for you as well, even if they're not the recruiters or getting referral fees for bringing in their friends and family.
Right. You bring up a great point, because I remember the other time I spoke and got paid was in front of a bunch of realtors. It was sort of an accident because a person I was supposed to speak wasn't able to make it. They came to me because I was running a networking group back in Chicago and asked if I could talk to their people. I had enough time to prepare and put on a presentation, and I ended up getting a couple of customers out of the deal when I wasn't even trying to get customers. So your point is valid, is the fact that by sharing information, you also position yourself as the expert. One of the things that I would tell when I had speakers at my networking event is provide value. If you start selling, I'm yanking you off the stage. If you provide value, you're the expert, people will come to you. And that's my story of what exactly happened.
Exactly. That's the formula we're talking about. You're getting up there not to give a pitch. You've got a topic that's going to give valuable information to the audience. And that's what your resources should be too. If you've got a QR code to connect to get people to sign up, your free resource, or make sure it's valuable. Even a video, that explanation of how they can get to use right away. Extending that generosity is what turns people into quick customers, sets them on the path to being super fans.
So Blair, share with our listeners how you work with somebody.
Yeah, so I function in two primary ways, a coach and a manager. I've got what I call my sustainable speaking strategy. It's three different pillars. They're not linear, but they all interrelate and in some sense iterative. We'd start with pillar one, your speaker assets. I was talking about like the topics, the video, your website, everything to present yourself as a speaker, whether you're pitching yourself, whether people are coming to you and asking you to speak, or whether you're just trying to keep building this, having the assets that all the other professional speakers have is an important element. So getting those established, figuring out what they should be and making those edits is really that first pillar. The second pillar is, what's your best go-to-market strategy? So depending on what your business is, what your goals are, going after these types of speaking engagements might be a much higher return than the digital ads or the other things you might be dumping money into. Figuring out just what you should use your time and resources for in the speaking sense, what events you should target, what is the strategy there, and how are you leveraging the assets that you've created? And then the third piece is those products and services. So some people might have these things already figured out. They might have products and services, but they don't have any of the speaking stuff. They may have the speaking stuff, but not the products. Getting them all kind of evened out and all three of those pillars really built out is what I do in my coaching, working through that week by week with my clients. Start. So when they're out there, putting this process into action. So you're out there on stage, sharing your story, your value, giving your QR code and wrapping up. Now you've got leads. Hopefully that leads to product sales and new clients. You get out there and do it again. So these might lead to more speaking engagements now that more people know about you and have seen you speak. So it's a virtuous cycle from there that evolved, but those are the three things that make it sustainable. A lot of people are chasing being a paid speaker, making six figures or more year after year, not trying to add any other value. They don't have other things to offer. It's a tricky balance with the only opportunities for growth mean more time on the road potentially, or sacrificing some business by raising your fee. It can be tricky if you don't have these other areas of revenue when another pandemic comes along, all your live in-person events are canceled. So I'm a big advocate for diversifying that portfolio, leveraging speaking strategically, whether you're getting paid or not, whether you're sponsoring the event so you can be in front of all these clients. If you even close two of them, it's worth the sponsorship. Like there's all these different models that are right for different types of businesses, for different types of speakers, and there's no one size fits all for everyone.
I've gone to events where the speaker spoke and halfway through the presentation, it was time to take a break. They then ask you to sign up for something, then continue the presentation. At the end, they'd ask you to get to sign up for either coaching or a course. People would go back, line up and buy what they were talking about. They provided enough value to create, like you mentioned, that credibility so people would take action.
Right, exactly. Oftentimes it can be just getting the leads. It might not be the sale right away. You want to be thinking about your ideal client and customer. If you have a lower price item like a digital course for $50 or doing a free event might be not a bad idea because people might come to a free event and then be willing to spend that. But if you're going to try to sell a multi-$1,000 coaching program or software program, you're probably not going to try to do that if the audience is there for free. You want to look at events where people are paying a few hundred dollars for tickets. You want to look at the caliber of that audience. And one way to calibrate that is, why are they there and are they invested in being there? And then would they invest in more? And what would that look like? It's just something a lot of people ignore and don't realize is readily accessible. It's a business model like anything else.
Right. So can you share a story of how you worked with a client and transformed them to where today they're a super fan of you because they were at this spot? And because of the work that you did, now they're at this spot and they're really grateful for the transition and transformation.
I think there's a few, I've got quite a few testimonials on my website. Over the course of the last couple of years, have increased their fees by 50%. They've gotten more notoriety. They're on more agency and bureaus websites, and they've evolved their brand and their messaging to something durable. When I meet a lot of speakers who are in like that growth phase, haven't quite hit it, it's because they might be good, but their content might be good, but they haven't hit their one thing. You know how like a lot of authors, they might publish a bunch of books, but then one becomes the hit. And then they're known for that topic, that idea. A lot of speakers are looking to pop and are looking for that special something. Helping them figure that out, it's not something you can do in one coaching session, one weekend. It takes time with them over time to figure out what is the next big thing or what is that message, that platform that is going to be durable enough that it can encompass the work that I want to do, that this message can be big enough for the topics, areas, categories, and so that it makes sense. That cohesiveness of a brand is really important because you want to stand out. But you got to also be super clear. People just want to know where you stand and what category you're in. And they want to know you for having a really unique platform, whether it's a tagline or just this thing that we're pointing to is so valuable that it takes time to establish. I've been really proud of the work I've done to bring people who've spent a lot of time elsewhere looking to try to get these answers and help make these breakthroughs happen. And also just launching speakers, people like Molly Bloom from Molly's Game. You know, I started working with her when the movie first came out and her book had already come out because, of course, they based the movie off her book, her memoir. The movie wasn't super successful. It was Aaron Sorkin's first directorial debut, but it was a smaller studio movie about a person who was a felon. A lot of people were not sure if they would be a convicted felon for speaking engagements, but once people learned her story and got to know her authenticity, I got my agency behind her, helped her grow and get more comfortable as a speaker, launched her into and now as a pretty well-known speaker on the circuit, doing higher ticket, bigger events and keynote slots. That was a really exciting part of my career.
Yeah, it's a great story. And speaking takes a skill set. And, you know, a lot of people will, can't think of the saying right this second, but people would rather die than do public speaking.
More afraid of death than public speaking. Or no, right. Of public speaking than death.
Yeah. My now wife and I went to a BNI meeting and we were substituting for someone. She had never done any public speaking. And I said, oh, you know, all you got to do is just read this guy's job description. She saw like 30 people and looked at me and said, I'm going to kill you. She did not want to speak, but she did it. And it took some speaking classes, which helped her overcome her fear of speaking. It transformed her from that perspective. So what you're doing is taking it to the whole nother playing field of helping people fine tune their speaking gig and the messaging and what they do beyond that.
Yeah, it's really more the creative business strategy that I excel at. I love helping people with their keynotes, but that's the thing that you're really, you need to own. That's you. That's the thing you're selling, that you're performing, that you're delivering. I can't do it for you. I don't want you to read it. I want it to be authentic. I can definitely give notes and give you ways to improve, but I don't excel in the coaching of how to stand or how to move your arms. Like, there's plenty of people that do that. I like the business strategy behind it that makes it sustainable.
Right, because like I said, in my speaking engagement, I was at the right place at the right time, and people ask, hey, can you speak on this? Sure. And I've done it several times. That's not been my go-to at this point. I love to be able to do it at some point in time, but I don't have a strategy. So for me, I'm one of those guys that you would probably be the one to help, because I don't have any idea of what to do to develop a brand for myself as a guy that's capable of speaking. Mm-hmm. You know, she tells me that I come alive, and I do come alive when I speak because I have fun with it. I personally don't talk at an audience. I talk with an audience. So I try to have an engaging conversation. That's something that I try to strive for. So let's go further into, when it comes to strategy, how do you break that down?
Yeah, I like to get high level as far as where are we going? What's the big picture? Figuring out what is the high ticket product or service that we're ultimately driving to, which helps dictate who our target audience, client, customer is. Then we can keep zooming in. Where do they go? What events are they gathering at? What conferences? What are the associations? What are the other ways that we might get in front of that audience and start exploring that locally? Then maybe expand beyond your city or in your state or region and going from there, leveraging your own network, you know, talking to your current clients and customers, like what events do you attend or podcasts that you listen to? Gathering some of that anecdotal information will at least give you a lot of leads to chase down. What kind of speakers are there? How do they work with speakers? Reaching out to an event or conference as looking to speak or partner is saying that you want to partner with them, potentially even sponsor. You're going to get a lot more replies than just saying, hey, I want to speak, especially if you're saying, hey, I want you to pay me to speak. So if your goal is strategy, then your goal should be getting the stage time. It's not about the money, because it's about that audience and that opportunity to convert them to what we care about more. It's figuring out who is the decision maker to let you on that stage and how do you make it happen and is it worth it to you at the end of the day if you are given that chance?
Yeah, and I think what you bring up is a good point that you probably should start off, if you want to become speaking, speak for free for a while, get the hang of it, get yourself comfortable in front of an audience, because, you know, speaking to 30 people is one thing. Speaking to 3,000 people is a completely different thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always tell people, start off just volunteering to speak at your church, at your school, at your kid's school, whatever that looks like. We talked about in your company at the beginning. People neglect those types of things. That's what I think makes it so easy to get that kind of practice, if you have those built-in audiences already available to you, and getting some honest feedback from people who care about you, probably also aren't experts in what you are an expert in, but now you have the chance to bug them with it and you can get an objective view on something from them.
Well, sure. They're not your friends. They're not your family. Which is typically, you say, okay, you're doing a good job. It sounds good. You're going to get some real feedback if you ask for it. And some of it, you may not like what you hear, but you need to hear it so that you can transform.
Yeah. Start writing down stories. Start making a list of different stories where you could open and close. That's such an integral part of keynoting, connecting with audiences. Some people feel really on the spot if they don't have something prepared. But if you start with a running list of different stories you might want to tell that are relevant or interesting, I think that's helpful for people as a way to think about how they could start using this.
You bring up a great point there, Blair. Stories are what you put into books. If you're putting it into a book, then you take that story and put it into a speaking aspect. You're right, that people can connect because they can go, oh, that's me. Or, oh man, glad that didn't happen to me. But the bottom line is, you're connecting in one way or another. That's the whole objective, to get connected to people emotionally. In sales, people buy emotionally, justify it logically.
Right, right.
So that's the important aspect to what we're talking about, is really getting people to connect with you emotionally. And then you're helping put together that whole business plan, in a sense, of how to turn this into a full-time business for somebody.
Right. Yeah. The different mechanisms that you need, the different things that you need to consider, the different pieces, and get it up and running so that it can be a kind of a self-feeding machine in that way.
Yeah, I never really thought about it. I'm glad we're having this conversation because it's given me some things to think about. I've just looked at it as, poof, I'm speaking, but I never thought about the strategy that goes into play and how these guys are promoting their business in a lot of cases. I went to a Tony Robbins event up in Salt Lake City and I saw a multitude of different people. Jerry Robert was a guy that was, if I remember the name correctly, talking about dot-dot book writing. And he shared a story of people that were successful through his program. I said, all right, the first 100 people to sign up will get a free 3-day workshop on how to write a book. I went down there and signed up, was one of the 100 people who went to the workshop. That's where he sold his very expensive book coaching program. I did not take it, but I still learned a lot. Now that we're talking, it's making me think there was a whole strategy in place. It was a business model where he talked to the public and had a call to action. That call to action led to an event, another event, that led to an upsell of the services that he did. And that validates what we've been talking about.
Absolutely. That model works in all different ways, like whether you're driving people to a webinar, to a course or whatever, you can definitely steer them on that customer journey you're trying to do. You'll see a lot of that at anything Tony Robbins or that kind of realm. That's the business model. That's where I learned it from, a bunch of those types of people.
Right. Can you share some advice for the business owner? How can they start talking to their teams?
Yeah. So first starting with those stories, like practice stories with your family and friends, and then share those with your team. What's missing with leadership and the connection with bosses is appropriate emotional connection. Not everything needs to be a happy hour or forcing people to engage socially with their coworkers. In the office, you can create connection by sharing stories, talking about your career and encouraging others to do the same. So I think that's a way that works with so many different levels, how you then are talking to new people, inspire your team, get them to be more productive, all of the above. And maybe that'll help then think about what you might want to share on a stage or speak about. Think about if you were just to write the first chapter of a book, that's really what a keynote is. It's the preface, it's the first chapter. You can't get a whole book into a keynote if people are probably going to be so overwhelmed. They're not going to remember anything. So you're just getting that main point across. You don't have to be an entire thesis. It can just be that big idea. And that could be summed up in an article or an essay if you were doing a LinkedIn post or whatever. So different ways that you can approach it if you're more of a writer or more of a this or that. And so just some little things that you can also start doing and trying and start exploring what's out there in your industry and then go beyond. You know, one of the biggest things I think is important is with your team and inside the company, and as you're thinking about where to find your customers and where you're speaking externally, don't just stay within your sphere and expect people to want to work with you or to stand out. If everyone else around you is talking about digital marketing, then why would, you know, my colleague would always say, if you're a yoga instructor, don't go to the yoga conference, go to the stressed out people's conference. Go to where you're needed and where you're not be one of many offering similar services, that there's a real differentiator for you. That's where I would invest my time, where it's a good potential client base and you're not be there with a lot of competitors.
So as we come closer to the end here, how can people find you, Blair?
Find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Blair Bryant Nichols and BBN Creative Management. You can also to my website, bbncreativemanagement.com, and sign up for a free 30-minute call. We can chat about where you're at, answer any questions, and hopefully give you some guidance on your next step.
Thank you. And great conversation. I've gotten value out of this. I'm just hosting the podcast show here. What you shared, people should stop and think about, because you're really helping people transform themselves and their businesses.
Definitely. I hope so. And they're in turn transforming a lot of other people's lives. So it's the gift that keeps on giving, and it can definitely be a great gift for you and your business.
So, Blair, thank you so much for being on the Business Superfan podcast. We look forward to having you on the show down the road.
Look forward to it.
Hey, Superfan superstar, Freddie D here. Before we wrap, here's your 3A playbook, attract, advocate, and accelerate your business power move for today. Here's this episode's top insight. Speaking on the right stage turns you from another voice in the crowd into a trusted authority your dream clients line up to follow. So here's your business growth action step. Pick one event where your ideal audience gathers and pitch a high-value, problem-solving talk that positions you as an expert they've been waiting for. If today's conversation sparked an idea for you, share it with a fellow business leader who would benefit and grab the full breakdown in the show notes. Let's accelerate together and start creating business superfans who not only champion your brand, but accelerate your growth.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Business Superfans podcast. If you found today's conversation valuable, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share this episode with someone who could use these powerful insights to level up their business. Remember, creating business superfans isn't just about your customers. It's about fostering genuine, impactful connections across your entire business ecosystem. When you invest in those relationships, success doesn't just happen, it accelerates. Until next time, I'm your host, Freddie D. Let's keep building superfans, creating unstoppable momentum, and driving your business toward extraordinary success. See you in the next episode.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to businesssuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.